Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 7. Indra offends Brihaspati. So today's verses are 37 and 38. This is 38 on the board. First I'll read 37. Tatapina prati bruyam gurubi pratitam kiyat bhavatam pratitam sarvang pranayarartais chasadaye. Translation, this is Vishwarup speaking to the demigods. All of you are my superiors, therefore, although accepting priesthood is sometimes reproachable, I cannot refuse even a small request from you. I agree to be your priest. I shall fulfill your request by dedicating my life and possessions. So the background is that once Brihaspati, the guru of the demigods, came into the assembly of King Indra. Indra was sitting on his throne with his wife, surrounded by many other demigods and servants, and he didn't pay any attention to Brihaspati, who felt offended and disappeared. So then the demigods, due to their offense toward their spiritual master, became weakened, whereas the demons, who were very respectful towards their spiritual master Sukracharya, became very powerful, and the demigods were being defeated in the battle with the demons. So they approached Lord Brahma for guidance and shelter, and he advised them to accept Vishwarupa as their priest. So they approached Vishwarupa, telling him that we are like your parents, so as like a dutiful son, you should help us and become our priest. And he explained it's not very wise for a serious Brahmin to become a priest and think of earning a livelihood like that. Rather, a serious Brahmana should simply live by collecting grains that are left over in the fields or in the marketplace. But anyhow, as this verse says, since you are my superiors, even though accepting priesthood is sometimes reproachable, I cannot refuse even a small request from you. I agree to be your priest. I shall fulfill your request by dedicating my life and possessions. So now, text 38. Sri Badarayanir Uvacha. Tebhya evam pratishrutya Vishvarupo mahatapa Paurahityam vritas chakre Paramena samadina Sri Badarayanir uvacha Tebhya evam pratishrutya Vishvarupo mahatapaha Paurahityam vritas chakre Paramena samadina.
Ladies, please.
Shri Badarayani Uvacha. Shri Shukadeva Goswami said, Tebya, unto them, the demigods, Evam, thus, Pratishrutya, promising, Vishvarupa, Vishvarupa, Mahatapa, the most exalted personality, Paurahityam, the priesthood, Vrita, surrounded by them, Chakre, executed, Paramena, supreme, Samadina, with attention. Translation, Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, O King, after making this promise to the demigods, the exalted Vishvarupa, surrounded by the demigods, performed the necessary priestly activities with great enthusiasm and attention. Please repeat, Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, O King, after making this promise to the demigods, the exalted Vishvarupa, surrounded by the demigods, performed the necessary priestly activities with great enthusiasm and attention. Purport, the word samadhina is very important. Samadhi means complete absorption with an undiverted mind. Vishvarupa, who was a most learned brahmana, not only accepted the request of the demigods, but took their request seriously and performed the activities of priesthood with an undiverted mind. In other words, he accepted the priesthood. Is it possible to turn this one here off, this fan? Yeah, off, is it? In other words, he accepted the priesthood not for material gain, but to profit the demigods. Such is the duty of a priest. The word puraha means family and hita means benefit. Thus the word purahita indicates that the priest is the well-wisher of the family. Another meaning of the word pura is first. A priest's first duty is to see that his disciples benefit spiritually and materially by all means. Then he's satisfied. A priest should never be interested in performing Vedic rituals for his personal benefit. Sri Badarayanir Uvacha Tebya Evam Pratishrutya Vishvarupa Mahatapaha Purahityam Vritaschakre Paramena Samadina. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, O King, after making this promise to the demigods, the exalted Vishvarupa, surrounded by the demigods, performed the necessary priestly activities with great enthusiasm and attention. So this is an example of a consciousness of a first-class brahmana. Is accepting this particular service as the mercy of the Supreme Lord, because after all the demigods are devotees of the Lord, even though they are not considered nishkama devotees. They are considered as sakama devotees. There's one purport here in a sixth canto where Prabhupada explains that because they're sakama devotees, they get a kind of reaction in the form of harassment from demons. Lord, of course, is especially attracted by the service of the nishkama devotees, but He also accepts the service of the Sakama devotees. Doesn't reject them, rather he encourages them to perform service so that they can gradually become purified. And obviously they also have service to do, important service to do. The demigods are in Jai Shishi Krishna Balaram Shishi Radhe Samsundar Shishi Gauranitai Ki Jai. The demigods are in charge of universal administration. So this very important responsibility within the scheme of universal affairs. So even though we see them, some of them anyway, making, we say, mistakes or being overwhelmed by material desires or desire for power, desire for, or lusty desire. Indra especially, of course, is prone, as in this pastime here, he's enjoying with his wife and others and neglects his spiritual master. So a result, he's put in a lot of difficulty, not only he but other demigods as well. And of course in the Govardhan Leela, Indra was proud. He wanted to enjoy the results of the Indra Yajna performed by the cowherd men. And when Krishna convinced them to use all the ingredients instead for the worship of Govardhan Hill, Indra became agitated, falsely proud, thought he could teach a lesson to Krishna and the inhabitants of Vrindavan. But of course, Krishna diminished his pride by lifting the Govardhan Hill with his small finger of his left hand. But still, because Indra is a devotee, even though he made mistakes, still he realized it's my foolishness and came to beg forgiveness from Krishna. And putting Sarabi in front, Krishna is very affectionate to the cows, so that was a very intelligent thing to do. Ultimately, Krishna gave him the intelligence, and of course, when Krishna saw his genuine regret, Krishna forgave him. So, demigods may make mistakes, but still, because they're devotees, they have that firm faith in the Lord, and ultimately the Lord helps them. Yeah. When they're, as Prabhupada said, they get reaction in the form of harassment from demons, but what do? They go to the Lord for protection. When demons are in difficulty, they think that they'll solve all the problems themselves, and we don't need God. Of course, many demons are devoted to particular demigods. In the next chapter, next purport, Prabhupada gives the example. Hiranyakashipu was a devotee of Brahma, Ravana was a devotee of Shiva, and Mahishasura was a devotee of Goddess Durga. But the demigods are devotees of Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of God, and then because they go to him for protection, the Lord reciprocates and gives him protection, so that even though he's equally disposed to everyone, still he shows special affection to his devotees. Samoham sarvabhuteshu name dveshu stina priya ye bhajanti tumam bhakya mai ticheshu chapi aham. I envy no one and I'm not partial to anyone. I'm equal to all, but if one renders service to me in devotion, he is a friend, he is in me, and I am a friend to him. So it depends on one's attitude towards Krishna. Once Prabhupada said, if you want to be friends with Krishna, Krishna will be friends with you. But if you want to play tricks with Krishna, Krishna will play tricks with you. So depends on our attitude. Someone is envious of Krishna, has no interest in Krishna. Why Krishna should show him special interest? Yes, Krishna is a well-wisher of all living entities. Suridam sarvabhutanam. He's a well-wisher of everyone. But it depends on us. Do we want to attract Krishna's mercy by engaging in his service, chanting his holy names, serving his devotees, respecting his prasadam? Or do you want to ignore Krishna? Krishna is definitely attracted if we show some interest in him. And Prabhupada said once, if you're in a room and someone's in the next room, they're talking about you. If you hear a little, you want to go and listen. Very interesting. What are they saying about me? Krishna is also attracted if his devotees are speaking about him, isn't it? The story in Dvaraka, when the queens were discussing Vrajalila, they posted Subhadra at the door, but she was also listening, and her eyes became wide with astonishment, and a huge smile broke out on her face. And Krishna and Balaram were passing by, and seeing her in that condition, they also began to listen. So they also became astonished, hearing their own pastimes with the gopis. And huge smiles broke out on their faces. So that's a form of Lord Jagannath. Jagannath Subhadra Baladev represents that particular pastime. So Lord is attracted by his own glories and pastimes, and especially attracted by his loving dealings with the devotees and the devotees' affection for him. One of the reasons why Lord Chaitanya appeared was to taste the love that Sri Radharani, Srimati Radharani, has for him. So in this way, the demigods, being devotees, despite their, some problems and some material desires, because in their hearts they always want to please the Lord, take shelter of the Lord, ultimately the Lord always helps them. And thus they, even though maybe get put into difficult, ultimately they're always victorious in defeating the demons. So here, Vishwarup, he knows that, even though Vishwarup himself had some partiality towards the demons, nevertheless, he knows that demigods are very exalted personalities, and especially Lord Brahma himself has told the demigods to request Vishwarup to be their priest. So Lord Brahma is the highest authority in the universe. Also, of course, in our sampradaya, he's the highest authority. He's a very exalted personality. So Vishwarup is humbly accepting, being a sincere brahmana, he's humbly accepting the request of the demigods, which is on the order of Lord Brahma. And he understands the principles of brahminical life, the importance of not being motivated for material gain. It's a very pure brahmana. So, as we mentioned, as we've been hearing in the previous verses, the brahmanas have to maintain their purity and not be purchased by the kshatriyas and vaishyas. The kshatriyas may have some political purposes, and they're willing to remunerate the brahmanas liberally, but sometimes may want them to speak on their behalf, convince people to do something on their behalf, or the vaishyas also and give generously in big donations, may have some motivation. Generally, brahmins, kshatriyas and vaishyas have more material motivation than the brahmanas. So for the society to function harmoniously, there needs to be, as Prabhupada put, needs to be brain. A brain means the brahminical class. What's their duty? Their duty is to study the scriptures and explain the scriptures to the other members of society. And also to perform puja and worship of the Lord on behalf of the other members of the society. In other words, they act as kind of via media between the Lord and other members of society. They are closest to the Lord because of their study and scrutiny of the Shastra. Other members of society are just so busy with their activities, kshatriyas with management or protection of the society, vaishyas with business, shudras in so many other activities. The brahmana's activity is to be close to the Lord and understand the instructions of the Lord and then to disseminate and guide the other members of society. So in that sense, they're the brains. And at the same time, the other members of society may not be pure enough or feel pure enough to worship the Lord directly, so that they do it through the brahmanas. So in this way, the dealings back and forth, coming from the Lord and giving to the Lord, is done especially through the brahmanas. So they have such important function in the society, but they have to maintain high standard of purity and not be distracted by material motivation. And this is very difficult now in Kali Yuga. Obviously, in the previous ages, people were much purer and they were able to, follow the standards of Vedic society nicely, and Brahmins were respected, and they were also able to maintain their neutrality and purity so that they could guide people impartially, give them genuine spiritual instruction. But nowadays in Kali Yuga, it's very difficult. Often we may go to some temple and be besieged by a crowd of brahmanas demanding donations. It's very off-putting. You want to go to a temple, feel inspired by the purity of the atmosphere, and suddenly you're surrounded by, jostled by brahmanas offering blessings and demanding donations. So don't feel like going to such temples. Generally, when you go to the temples, like ISKCON temple, there should be discourses on Shastra. There should be kirtan. And in this way, people are attracted by the spiritual atmosphere, the spiritual activities of Shravanam Kirtanam. So this is inspiring to the visitors. More and more visitors want to come. And then the devotees will talk to them about Krishna consciousness, distribute books to them, inspire them to chant japa, to join in the kirtans. This is very uplifting. This is a proper function of a temple. And the standard of the worship of the deities should be very nice. Prabhupada was always very strict about these points. That deity worship must always be accompanied by kirtan. Just as here, 24-hour kirtan was Prabhupada's desire and instruction. And by the efforts of Aindra Prabhu and so many other devotees, this is going on to this day. In fact, when the deities were installed here in 1975 on Ram Nomi, Prabhupada invited local Purohits to perform yajñas. But at the same time, he had a kirtan going on. And he said that, actually, we can install a deity just, you know, by having kirtan at the same time. But he said that local people might not accept that this is authentic installation. So therefore, we also have the local brahmanas. But actually, the Harinam Yajna is the most important yajna and is sufficient in itself for installing the deities. But the deities must always be worshipped with Harinam Yajna, not just ringing bell. Artik generally means ringing the bell. And many temples you go, you know, you just hear dong, 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 ringing of the bell, and there's no kirtan. I remember once I was staying at a dharmshala at a temple in Dharan, which is in southeast Nepal. And in the morning I heard like a kartals and gongs, and I thought it must be nice kirtan going on. So I entered the temple room. All I saw was one young girl who was sort of dancing around and another old lady who was rolling on the floor. Then I looked back in a corner. There was a machine. And the machine had several bells, you know, which it was ringing, and several gongs, which it was beating, like that. But no actual kirtan going on. So we see in our ISKCON temple, the bell is small. The pujari is just ringing a small bell, but the kirtan is loud. So Prabhupada insisted that for the deity worship to be effective, there must be kirtan. And he also said, for neophytes, kirtan should be accompanied by deity worship. So they're interconnected. Both activities have to go on. Although Harinam Sankirtan is the Yuga Dharma, but it should be accompanied by deity worship, at least some form of deity worship. Even in the home, Prabhupada advised for grihasthas four kinds of activities. Hare Krishna. Four kinds of activities. They should keep some altar at home, even if simple one. Offer their food. The members of the family take prasadam together. Perform kirtan together and hear from the scriptures together. So this very complete program, the same program in ISKCON temples, more elaborate, but it's the same principle. And the brahmanas, they should be as pure as possible, as is possible in Kali Yuga. Devotees in general should try to follow the example of exalted personalities like Vishwarupa. You know, he had no personal motivation, but was obedient to his authorities and tried to execute his duty and service in the most selfless way possible, the most dedicated way possible, concerned not to be polluted by material desires. Even Lord Brahma, when he was going to undertake the creation, he was also concerned and may be affected by material desire. He was praying to the Lord what to do, and that's when the Lord spoke the four seed verses of the Bhagavatam to him, that you should see me everywhere in all situations, in a past, present, future. So, as Krishna said, in all activities, just depend upon me and work always under my direction. Thus you can pass over all the obstacles of material life by my grace. But if you act out of false ego and not hearing me, then you will be lost. So to the degree that we are surrendered to Krishna and pure in our intention and our activities, to that degree we can get the mercy of the Lord and become effective representatives of the Lord. Yeyatam amprapadyante tamstataiva bhajami aham mama vartmanu vartante manushya partha sarvasaha. As Krishna says, all of them, as they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects. We are all living within the Lord's creation. We are all dependent on the Lord. Lord is in everyone's heart. All the energies that surround us are the energies of the Lord. So he cannot go out of the Lord's creation. It's not possible. Our position is always dependent on the Lord, within the Lord's creation. But our consciousness can vary. Consciousness can be very pure spiritual consciousness if we attentively follow the instructions of the Lord and the Acharyas. And if we don't follow, then our consciousness will be polluted. And the less we follow, the more polluted our consciousness will become. The more we'll be affected by tamagun. Most of the world is in Kali Yuga is deeply entrenched in tamagun. So, and the Prabhupada again and again, he refers to the materialistic people as simply living like animals, dogs and cats. Animals are in tamagun. So when he went to Australia once, the newspaper reporters were asking, why have you come here? And the Prabhupada said, to save you from a dog's life. So this is unfortunate that human beings who have such a well-developed form of life with higher intelligence, finer intelligence to understand spiritual topics, they are neglecting that completely, and they're just engaging in animal propensities of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, and doing it in more and more perverse and gross ways. And this is very much, of course, lauded in the Western liberal democratic society, so-called democratic society. You know, you have to be very tolerant, allow all kinds of, you know, combinations of whatever. People have all kinds of strange families nowadays. All kinds of huge families mixed up with all kinds of different relationships. But no spiritual understanding. So this is an unfortunate condition of life in Kali Yuga. So Prabhupada was a very powerful representative of the Lord. Even though he, we can say, in his family life was, you know, performing more like a Vaishya activity. He was engaged in business activity. But he was a great devotee of the Lord, and he had the great fortune to meet the powerful Acharya, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and accept him as his spiritual master. Prabhupada said in the beginning, within the heart, not officially, but in the heart anyway, that's the most important thing. After 11 years, he got formally initiated, but he accepted him as spiritual master, and he was following the standards of Krishna consciousness, even though he was, you know, performing his family duties and earning money for his family. And his desire to follow the instruction, original instruction of his spiritual master, to preach Krishna consciousness all over the world, is always there in his heart. He always meditated upon it. And that instruction was reconfirmed in the last letter he wrote to his spiritual master shortly before his spiritual master departed. The same instruction to preach Krishna consciousness in the English language and spread it all over the world. So, when the opportunity came and the Prabhupada increased his preaching activities more and more and more, so means long time he was meditating on his spiritual master's instruction and helping his god brothers wherever possible, and then when opportunity arose to himself begin back to Godhead and then begin some society of devotees, he took those opportunities more and more and more, was translating books, and when his spiritual master told him in a dream to accept sannyas several times, even though at first he thought, felt reluctance, still he understood this is my spiritual master's desire. And when his god brother Keshav Maharaj offered him sannyas, then he knew I should accept, and he became a sannyasi, completely detached from family affairs, and fully dedicated in preaching, as we know, went to the Western world and spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, always with the same purity and determination. That's why he came out successful, because he had no motivation for his own personal aggrandizement or for becoming a wealthy man. But, of course, as we know, Krishna made him very wealthy and very famous. But he used everything to uplift the members of society and has created this wonderful society, ISKCON, with so many temples, so many devotees, and the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust publishing the most important Vedic Vaishnav scriptures in as many languages of the world as possible, and inspired in the devotees the mood to distribute those books profusely. ISKCON is distributing millions of books every year. So this was due to his Brahminical purity, pure Krishna consciousness, that he is so much in touch, connected to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that the Lord's instructions are disseminated to the whole world through him, and his followers are continuing that work with determination and success. So it's the same principle as we find here, the principle of pure consciousness, submission to one's bona fide authorities, and engaging in one's service with attention and enthusiasm. So, Hare Krishna. It's 9 o'clock, so thank you so much. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Samaveta Bhaktivrinda Ki Jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi.